You're listening to a message by Bruce Downs, given to the Catholic Eye Impact Centre in southwest Sydney, Australia. We know this message will bless you.
To all of you watching on television around the world, to those of you watching online, it's great to have you with us. To those of you who are in halls, churches, and in houses, it's great to have you with us, as well as all of you who are sitting in groups and with pen and paper ready to take notes and then talk about this. I want to say particularly to those people who called me from Mount Maunganui in New Zealand who are watching and who sit down and talk about this every week. It's great to have you among the many groups that are here, as well as it is to have everybody here today. Now, I was at the women's conference and I realised, and I had to give a talk. We had a women's conference this last few days, and I had to give a talk, and I was reflecting when I, just before I began, and I shared this with the ladies. What would I say to a young me all those years ago? See, when I was young, I was terrible with women. Girls. Seriously, I was. Seriously, I was just hopeless with girls. You know, I look back now and I realise I wasn't that bad, really. But at the time, I thought I was hopeless. And, you know, and I come from a family of five boys. I went to an all-boys school. And I didn't know many girls. And, you know, kind of girls were kind of just strange and different and attractive and distant. And so I never had a lot of friends that were girls. And then standing at that women's conference, I remember thinking to myself, if only all the guys at school could see me now. You know, the best is yet to come. But anyway, it's good. Well, we're going to talk on the whole idea of your future is bright. And my future was bright, I tell you, the last couple of days. You know, as someone who speaks often, there's something that I've said pretty consistently to groups of people, and if you've heard me in the past, you would know that I've said this, is that the reason that you are where you are today, the reason where you are is largely because of the decisions that you made yesterday. The reasons that you are where you are today is largely because of the decisions that you made yesterday. What you did, what you decided, how you acted determined why you are where you are. Well, that's partly true. The friendships you have, the marriage you have, the place where you live, the money you have, in the bank, what your body is like, is largely based on decisions that you made in the past. But it's not completely true in the sense that there are factors that are outside of our control. We get a negative health report. There is injustice or violence done toward us in some way. Or there is a partner who walks out on a marriage and we're left to raise the kids. As I heard someone speak about yesterday, they had a child that's disabled and they asked themselves the question, I never thought that life would turn out like that for me. A partner who does wrong in business and we suffer. There's a downturn in the economy, mistakes you make. And it's really, so life is really a combination in a sense of the decisions we made yesterday and then those things in a sense that we have no control over. Another thing I used to say all the time is you can't change your past. We've been going now for about 60 seconds and none of you can get that 60 seconds back. Some of you are sitting saying, I'm sitting in the middle of the group in the room. I wish I could get out now. But you know, you can't change the 60 seconds, your past. And, you know, I think there are some of us who go back and rewrite history. There are countries that started wars and they go back and they rewrite history and they teach their young people that, well, it wasn't really us. There are some of us who, as we get older, if you reflect enough, you begin to understand your past, don't you? Like when I was a teenager, I could only think as a teenager. Now that I'm a little older than that, I actually look back and I go, that's the reason I was like that. I actually understand my past. Time, however, mates for no one. And our future is bright and brighter by the decisions that we can make and by the things that we do have control over and that we do have control over today. And if you read the scriptures, the Bible, and the Bible is not just one book, but a whole series of books all put into one book. It's a book of books in a sense. This book consistently says that life was given to us by God in order that our future ultimately would be bright. And we only ever live here for a certain amount of time. You know, and even though when I was young, I thought I had a long time to go, when you get to this age, you know, I'm 29 now, when you get to this age, you realise that the end is inside. I walked past the mirror this morning and you know how you feel young? You just feel young. And then you walk past the mirror and you go, oh. And realise that the reality strikes you, doesn't it? and that you sit there and you go, well, I remember when I was looking at some people in the last couple of days, all these young mums that were there over the weekend, and they had these little babies, and I remember when we had five little kids, and now my kids are having kids. And Rosemary, in one of the talks that she gave, she spoke about the fact, and I didn't know this, that she had had thoughts about having another five kids on top of the five kids we had. I would be a lot older than this right now if that had happened, you know. Well, I want to read to you a story from the scriptures, and it's a story that many of us are familiar with. And if you look on the screen or on the screen on your television, you'll see it. It says, Jesus, he entered Jericho and was passing through it. And a man was there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore tree to see him. And because he was going to pass that way, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down, for I must stay at your house today. And so he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, he's gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Now, just to understand who a tax collector was in their environment, is they were a people who were under bondage to the Romans. And the Romans were, in a sense, we hear read in the Bible, we read of the far-off landowner, the absent landlord, is that there were these people who took taxes and then would send some off, but they often would keep an unjust amount for them. And where often the tax collectors sat, we think we've got toll roads in some cities around the world where you pay money to drive along the road. Well, they used to have toll people who sat on certain roads, and if you cross certain bridges or certain roads, that you pay the tax every time. And that tax went off. And they collected it. But also often the tax collectors who were one of your own people would keep a lot. And so they were regarded as, when they use the word sinner, they're not just talking about sinner in the sense of that wrong in sense of God, but sinner in the sense of this was a bad person. This was someone who was an unjust and a person. And everyone disliked the tax man. You know? Anybody here like the tax man? Do you know my father-in-law worked for the tax department? I think that might be why we never got on, you know. He's a great fella. He'll be watching. He'll send me a letter now. But anyway. And so here is Zacchaeus, and he's this sinner. This guy wasn't very tall, and he hears that Jesus is in town, and he climbs up this tree in order that he would be able to see him. Zacchaeus stood there when Jesus calls him down and said to the Lord, Lord, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and I've been defrauded. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. It's interesting. Have you ever had those moments when someone comes along and says, you ever talk to a little child? And sometimes our kids would have arguments or fights, and you'd say, you know, and they would go, they did it. Yeah. And then you would say, tell me the truth. And eventually the truth would come out, and it would have been one of them who initiated it against the other one, or something happened, etc. We have four daughters and just one son, right? And I remember we'd go sometimes watch television when they were all little, and our son Joel would lie there, and if all five of them were lying there watching TV, all of a sudden, just because he could, you'd see his hand go up on his sister and go bash, and then she would, and then go back, and she'd cry, and he'd say, hit me. He says, I didn't. See, this guy Zacchaeus, he comes into the presence of truth, who is Jesus. And he can't help but realize, oh, gee, I'm not living the way I should. And he says to Jesus, I'll do all these things. And then Jesus said to him, today salvation, the right way, has come to this house because he too is a son of David. For the Son of Man, that's Son of Man means Jesus, came to seek out and save who was lost. This man had a past. This man had a past, but because of an encounter with Jesus, he had a different future. Because of an encounter with Jesus, he had a brighter future today. And there are some of you, very possibly you're here, you're listening in some place, and you need a brighter future than the one you've got today. Because when you look back, you've made some decisions that maybe aren't the greatest that brought you to this place. Some circumstances that you're living in are tough and difficult that brought you to this place. And it's so easy to get stuck in the way we behave. And particularly for we older people, it's so easy for us to get stuck. And what happens is when we get stuck is that life can pass by in a year, 2 years, 3 years go by. And then one day we wake up and go, why am I like this? And we fall into the habit of being in the place we are. But if we want to have a brighter future, there is a way out of that. I love sport. Almost any sport I'll watch. And sadly, however, I wasn't very good at sport when I was young. My major win, I've shared this with many people, and be careful because my feelings get hurt now. I won one trophy in my whole life, and it was in under 13 in little athletics. You know, little athletics with a little, you know, running, you know. And it was because there were two boys in under 13, and I was the second kid, and I got the runner-up prize because there was only two. And I love that trophy. It's the only trophy I have. You know, I remember going and having races and having butterflies in my stomach. And I knew before each race I wasn't going to win. Not because I was negative, because I just had an idea. You just know that there are people that are faster than you. Not because you're negative at all. I was never going to the Olympics. But it was all about competing. It was all about the dream. It was all about being a part of it. But yet sometimes we can get stuck if we don't have a realistic assessment of ourselves in things that trap us for years about the kind of person that we're going to be, the career we'll have or the family we'll have. It's so easy to get distracted, isn't it? We can get distracted from the person we want to be because of responsibility, because of the marriages we have or because of expectations people put on us, because of children. It's so easy to become distracted from some of those things. And God, if you think about God, if you study God, if you can study him, he's about our success. And he's ultimately about our happiness, that what we achieve. And I'm not talking about having more necessarily, but it could be that. I'm talking about being successful in the sense of you stand in and you say, with all the talents and all the abilities and all the gifts I have, in keeping with this magic thing called the passion, the thing I'm interested in, I'm all that I can be. Because all we can be is the gifts and talents combined with the thing that interests us, the thing that makes us lie awake at night, the passion within us. When you put those things together, God, when we get to heaven, God's going to stop and say, good job, that's what you're meant to do. And it's so easy to get distracted from that. You know, you might own a little, you might have or you could be abundantly wealthy, but neither of those make you successful, either in life or even before God. Just for a minute, think about God as a coach, a sporting coach, because I like sport. And the objective of a coach is to take a group of people and to coordinate, to plan, to instruct these players in such a way that at the end they win the prize. They win the goal. And so the job of the coach is to make sure that they are fit enough to play by conditioning them over time. If you think about a coach ensures that they have the necessary skills, the skill development. A coach also ensures that they psychologically are up to and prepared to persevere in the midst of the hardship of the game and being prepared. A coach makes sure that the players developed and but the players understand the game plan. That's what coaches do, is it not? That's what coaches do. But what a coach can't do is play for the players. I have five children, and the job of a parent is to raise those kids. It's a little bit like you get this little baby that is this big and can't do anything at all for themselves. And life is almost like you build a scaffold around them. And as they grow and mature, what you slowly do over time is the job of a parent is to take that scaffold down so they stand by themselves as a good member of society. But one of the things I learned with my kids is I could never protect them from getting hurt. And I could never force my children to do the things I wanted to do. When they were little, I could. But when they got to that age where they began to stand up and go, I now have the power of decision in my life, which all of us must have ultimately in our life, you can't live life for them. All that a coach can do when the game begins is he can move players around, he can strategize, he can bark orders from the side, but he can't go and play. It's the same with God. Each player has a responsibility, however, Each player has the responsibility to be trained and be fit. Each player has the responsibility to develop their skills. Each player has the responsibility to psychologically be ready to play. Each player has to know the game plan. But the coach can't do it. So God coaches in such a way that every person would stand ultimately on the victory dais and get the prize, get the medal. That God's way of viewing success is very different to the way we do, particularly in Western society. God's view of success is very different. And sometimes when we look at God and we look at the way our society treats us, sometimes we've got to see the two as distinctly different. God wants you, if we're really honest, God wants you to be great. God wants you to be special. He wants you to be all that you can be. And he has a game plan that is actually designed just for you. There is a guy named Jared Haynes. I've been following him profusely. He was a rugby league player in Australia, and he's just gone to go play NFL in America, the gridiron, the stuff with the helmets. You know, the weak people wear helmets and pads, but, you know, Australians, they just get out there and do the job. We just lost the entire American audience, all right? I was in Chicago a couple of weeks ago, sitting down watching the television because it was getting this TV show that was being broadcast into Chicago with a group of Americans. And apparently I have an accent. I didn't know that, but anyway. Can I ask you this question? And I look at Jared Haynes, and Jared Haynes has had to learn this completely new game, and no one can do it for him. He's got lots of skill, but can he play that game? Can he play that game? Stop and ask yourself, are you where you thought you would be in life right now? Did you think this is where you'd turn out? You're 25? Did you think you would look like that? Did you think you'd achieve what you have? Did you think life would smack you around the way it has? You're 40? You're 60? You're 80? You know? Remember, to a large degree, we're the product of our choices, aren't we? To a large degree, not the only thing. And even when you do decide to make a choice, even when you decide I'm not going to make a choice, you're making a choice. There was a period in my life where I got stuck in some habits, and I just thought, oh, well. And by just thought, oh, well, I'd made a choice. And it had a really negative effect upon my life. You know, you are where you are to a large degree, not only, but to a large degree by the choice you make. And where you will be in a month's time is what you're deciding right now. That's the truth. It's the way it works. Well, I want to give you 10 things, and you can write these down. 10 things I do. 10 things I do. They're going to be on the screen or on your screen on television. I'm going to give you 10 things that you can write down that I do to try and help me move along and break this sitting still and being in a place where in the end of the day I stop and I go, I didn't want to be there. It's interesting, with the women's conference just having concluded last night, I have to say that something that's been very powerful in my life is taking time out to go to things like that and getting the chance to stop and do a bit of reflection and assessment. And some of those have been some of the most significant things in my life. I've also found that attending church has been, you know, and that once a week stopping and going to church, like the churches like this, and stopping and assessing my life has helped me to make sure that what I am experiencing today is what I chose, rather than what I'm experiencing today is what I just let happen. You are in charge of your future. You are in charge of that. Now, some things you can't change because circumstances in life can be very difficult. But you are in charge to a large degree upon your future. So I want to give you 10 things, and you can write these 10 things down. Number one is this. If you want to go from here, if you want to go to there, number one is this. You have to review your past. You've got to review your past. You've got to consistently review your past. You've got to consistently review where you've been. What has got you to where you are? What has got you to where I ask questions of myself like, what's got me to where I am? What am I proud of? What am I pleased that I've done? Am I pleased with the person that I am? What hurts me? What hurts me? Because there are things that hurt me. There are things that people say. There are things that people say to me, you didn't do, or you did that, and you shouldn't have done that. And the reality is a lot of the time I know it's true. It's true. You know? What are you disappointed by? What are you disappointed by? What are you good at? So you've got to balance it. It's not looking for the negative, it's looking for the positive. Because if you review your past, you see both the fantastic and sometimes you see what's weak. If you remember what God has done in your past and what you're good at and the hard times you go through, it can give you great confidence to move into the future. If you think about what God has done, if you think about the hard times you've been through, if you look at where you are today, it can give you great confidence for your future. The scripture tells us. Our past is full of helpful lessons, but for many of them we miss them because we don't really take the time to stop and say, who really am I? Because when we really stop and ask that question, we see God speak to us with a loud voice, but you just need to stop and explore that question. You have to review your past. The second one is this, if you want to go from here to there, is you have to explore your future plans. You just got to explore future plans. You've got to explore future plans. In Proverbs, and Proverbs is a book in the Bible, because the Bible is many books. And there's this one Bible called Proverbs, which is a whole series of wise sayings. And it's not on the screen, but I'll tell you what it is from Proverbs 13:16. It says this, a wise person thinks ahead, a fool doesn't and even brags about it. A wise person thinks ahead, a fool doesn't and even brags about it. God placed within us the capacity for choice. God's plan can be found within us, that God has for us, through the passions that we have. What is of interest to you? What makes you excited? You look at Steve Jobs, who came along with Apple, and Wozniak, his associate who helped him put it all together. They were passionate about computers. They weren't passionate about sailing or planes or plumbing. They were passionate about that. And God designed that each of us has got different passions, different gifts, different. And when we find that passion, that thing that interests us, it's interesting. Passion makes pain possible. Passion makes pain possible in our lives. See, some people can fall on their feet in certain circumstances, but none of us always fall on our feet all of the time. If you want to be in the future in a different place to where you are today, make a plan. Make a plan. Sit down and ask yourself, don't let things seem impossible to you. Don't let them seem impossible. Write it down. Write it down. And God can take ordinary people and cause them to achieve things that they never thought they could do. But you have to explore your future plans and write it down. The third thing that I've learned, if you want to go from here to there, if you want to get out of just being where you are, is you have to adapt your circumstances. You have to adapt them. There was a guy in the Bible called King Hezekiah. You don't need to know more about him other than he was about to be attacked by an invasion of Assyrians. A huge number of them, and he did two things. The very first thing he did was everything he could. You can go, well, that's obvious. He did everything he could. If you want to be in a different place, can I ask you this question? Have you done everything you can? Have you done everything you can? And we all know that story that you hear from time to time of the child who tries to open the glass but can't open the jar and can't. And their dad is saying, have you done everything you can? And he goes, Dad, I've done everything I can. And the one thing he hasn't done is given the jar to his dad to say, Dad, can you open? Because that's everything you can. Have you gone out and have you sought wisdom? Have you gone out and sought the wisdom of others? And then the second thing that you do is you stop and you stop and say, God, in you I trust that you can get me through this. See, life, I was speaking to a group for teenagers once. And I got dressed up like Roger Federer. See, did I tell you I was never any good at sport? I did tell you that, didn't I? Yeah. So I came out to give this talk at a youth conference to this group of teenagers. And I did two things. I came out dressed as Roger Federer. And I'd went gone and I'd got from a few tennis clubs a tennis ball for every kid that was there so that I could give a tennis ball to every kid. And then the other thing that I got was I went to a farm and I got for a day a llama. You know what a llama is? The big long head. And this lady brings this, and well, I walk down the back and I walk this llama into the room up onto the stage and they spit. And I'm, you know, besides the fact I'm not good at sport, I'm scared of animals. You know, and I looked at this thing, and the whole time I was dressed like Roger Federer, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm thinking, God makes things in odd shapes, doesn't he? But you want to know something? If you're going to play the game of life, wherever the ball lands, if you're going to stay in the game, you've got to run over and hit it from there, don't you? Because if you just go, oh, no, well, then you're out. You got to hit the ball where it lands. Even if you look like a llama. Even if you haven't got the ability of Roger, or if even if you just put the clothes on. Seriously, I didn't even look as good as Roger Federer. You know? But Swiss did call me up and ask me if I wanted a watch contract. You know? No, they didn't. I made that up. You know? You know, you got to hit the ball where it lands if you're going to stay in the game. And so whatever you've been dealt with, a husband that abandoned you, a child that's disabled, a business that goes pear-shaped, some mistakes that you've made in your life, a health issue that's difficult. If you're going to stay in the game, you've got to hit the ball where it lands, no matter what you look like. That's the way God designed us to be, if you're going to stay in the game. And you've got to put some people around you that will help you. Number four is if you're going to go from here to there, is you have to deal with your mistakes. There's a guy named John Maxwell. He teaches on leadership, and he realized teaching on leadership that if he could figure out what made people successful, he could begin to teach that, and he thought that would help a lot of people, and he'd make a lot of money. So his company went back and they studied success over the last 100 years, people who had been successful in areas such as politics and sport and culture, etc., across the board. And there was only one thing that they discovered that was common to everybody, and that was the fact that everyone who had been outrageously successful had failed well and failed often. And he came to the conclusion that if you want to be successful, you need to get some good failure in you. You've got to look around. You've got to stop and look in the mirror and stand on the scales. You've got to have a look at yourself and say, oh, look, this is me, because you can come back from that. That success comes to those who've made mistakes rather than you have to stand there and be always successful. I was never the cool kid. I never was the guy who got all the girls until now. But you know, I wasn't. I was just this guy, you know, and I had to deal with my mistakes. And I made some silly choices when I was young. Now's not the time, but I did. You deal with your mistakes and you can go forward. You know, the fifth thing, if you're going to go from here to there, is this. You've got to yearn for discipline. You've got to desire discipline. Now, discipline is not fun. But discipline is the doorway to a better future. Discipline is the doorway. And the scripture encourages us to go after discipline. It encourages us to go after discipline. To those things that says, this is the way I stand, because discipline strengthens us. Discipline makes sure that we endure in the times of hardship. It says in the book of Hebrews. That a response to discipline will determine our success. A response. I look like this because of my level of discipline when it comes to exercise and food. Now, some of you look like you do because of your response to discipline in relation to food and exercise, if we're truthful. But we don't have to be truthful today. It's only church, all right? Number six is this, if you want to go from here to there, you have to study success. You need to study success. Paul said to the Corinthian church, he says, follow my example as I follow Christ. So Paul wrote If you want to be successful, I am successful, copy me. Because I'm copying Jesus. That's what he said. In the area where you're passionate, where you're interested, maybe you're into computers. Maybe you're into computer games. Maybe you're, whatever it is, maybe you are into science or something. It's find someone who's good and copy them. Go and learn from the expert. People know me. I've traveled around the world. I've rung people up and said, I did this only earlier this year. I read a book that I really appreciated. And so I found out the guy's name. I researched where his name is, and I found an email address. And I wrote to him and I said, listen, if I come to the United States, would you give me 1 hour? And he was in Orlando, Florida. I said, would you just give me 1 hour? I've got a couple of questions. I don't want anything. I just got a couple of questions. And I've done that a number of things in my life, times in my life, and I wouldn't stand here today if I hadn't done that. See, the person who wants to go from here to there will do the extreme in order to get from here to there. They'll do it. And if you can't get to that person, what you can do by studying success is, and we live in an internet world which is fantastic, is that you can go and find people that are successful in far off places, study what they have to say, listen to what they have to say, watch what they do. You can allow a person who's in the distance mentor you, and you never have to have a conversation with them. You never have to have a conversation with them. It's the videos they put out, it's the DVDs, it's the talks they give. You can allow someone in the distance, whether it be in whatever area or passion you have, to mentor you, you know. And I would say this to you, spend your money, spend your resources, and spend your time to learn from others. It will propel you into your future. It'll propel you into the future. The seventh thing, if you want to go from here to there, is this, is that excitement leads to enthusiasm. You've got to live excited. You've got to live that little bit, you know, on the edge of being excited about what the possibilities for the future are. If you have a look at the screen, it says, I wrote it this way once, is excitement, it leads to enthusiasm, and enthusiasm leads to energy, and energy leads to exertion, and exertion leads to an effect, and effect leads to excitement. Let me explain it. When I get excited and get, you know, it leads me to being enthusiastic. I go, this is good. I love the women's conference. Matter of fact, I got so enthusiastic, I announced even a bigger one last night than I had planned to. And then that enthusiasm will give us the energy to get there. And when we get, we'll exert ourselves to make it work. And then guess what will happen? It will have a great effect. And then we'll stand up and we'll double the size of it again. It's what happens. Think about it. It's what you do all the time when you're successful in life. Excitement leads to enthusiasm. Enthusiasm leads to energy. Energy leads to exertion. Exertion leads to effect. And effect leads to excitement. Have a look at Zacchaeus. He got so excited he ran up, climbed up a tree. Jesus comes down and says, I see you. Wouldn't it be wonderful just for Jesus to, with those eyes, to look at you and say, I see you, and calls you down. And as soon as you have this, you respond to him, it changes your life. Your future is different because you've encountered who Jesus is. The eighth thing I've learned, if you want to go from here to there, is this, you have to trust yourself. You have to trust yourself, right? You have to trust yourself. See, God speaks, where does God speak? He speaks in our head. He speaks in our heart. He speaks in our circumstances of our lives. And you, if you're a student of yourself, you'll know often what the right thing to do is. You know you better than anybody else on the planet. You know you better than your wife or your husband, a friend. You know you. You know what you're like when you're just in that private place all by yourself. You know those things that make you, excite you. Those things that sadden you. Those things that get you up in the morning. Those things that disappoint you. You know, trust yourself. Go for it and trust yourself. God's not interested in your ability so much as he is interested in your availability to him. Right. You know, God's not interested in your ability. He's interested in your availability to him doing what he wants to do. The ninth thing I've learned about going from here to there of our 10 things is this, is that you go and do it now. You know? Now, when I start diets, and I'm always talking about diets, I'm always going to start tomorrow. Anybody else like me? Any of you are ever going to change something? I'm starting on Monday.
Yes.
I'm waiting to New Year's.
Yes.
And then when you get to New Year's 2015, you think, I'll start 2016, right? Yeah? Do it now. It's interesting, when God spoke to Moses, he said to him, quit praying now and get the people moving forward, go. There's a time to stop praying. There's a time to stop thinking. There's a time to stop all the planning and to go. And there's no time as good, pretty much, as now. Because yesterday, as the Bible tells us, the scripture tells us, will have enough problems of its own. You know, Rosemary and our wedding, at our wedding, when we had this reading about, you know, don't worry about, you know, all the problems out there, because there's going to be so many problems in the future. Don't worry about tomorrow, because today's got enough problems. Have you ever thought to yourself, it'll be better tomorrow? And then you get to tomorrow and then you go, oh. I have on so many times. And then the 10th thing is this, is octane comes from God. Now, what's octane? Octane is this very flammable fuel. God's got to be the one that does it. So on top of all of the effort, all of the reviewing, all of the planning, all of the things and places where we want to be, God has to come. And that's where it takes us to go to God and say, God, I'll give you my life. And there might be some of you here watching, here today, and you think to yourself, well, I don't know if I even believe in him. But that's where it takes the step of faith. And that's where it takes that belief to try it. And to say to God, God, I'm 60 years old, I'm 70 years old. I went to church once, but I quit. I quit because I thought it was boring or it was irrelevant or it was old. I didn't like the fact that, you know, children got sexually abused by people we were meant to trust. I got disappointed by people who were meant to be leaders who knew better, and I quit. I got hurt by someone who was meant to be a churchy person and they did something wrong, and it takes a lot to trust again. I went to a school and I never heard about God really. I just got taught a set of rules. It takes something in us to lay it down and say, God, I choose to choose you. Because that's what God did to me. On the day I asked God to come into my life was a day when I said to God, I don't know that I believe in you, but I will risk believing in you if you will help me. And there are some of you here probably today, and that's where you are. You've got a history. You're a good person. You've got a history, but yet God is maybe not in the place that he could be in your life. See, there's no time like now for God to put fire on your life. Over the years, I've noticed that God has changed my dreams. Over the years, I've noticed that God has changed my desires and my hopes, what I thought was important. When I was a boy, I thought like a boy. And then I became a young man and I thought differently. And now that I'm a slightly older young man, I think just that little bit differently. So here it is. This is it. It's time to be ready, to be ready, set, go. It's time to say, ready, set, go. Now is that time. This is it. Ready, set, go. If you add up the first letter of all those things I gave you, that's exactly what it says. It's time to move from the place where you are. Have you got someone, can I say this to you, have you got someone who believes in you? Really believes in you? Because if you don't, we will. Because that's what we do. We'll believe in you. We may not know you yet, but we'll believe in you. And if you're one of the many people who write to us, or you're one of someone here, we'll believe in you. Believe that your future can be a better future, because if you say to God, come to me, God will. And God can. Because to some of us here, God has. God has. Your future can be better than the future that you have. So over these next few weeks, I'm going to unpack what it means to live with a brighter future, and that the best is yet to come. That's where I'm going to go in these next few weeks as we go. And today I just introduced the topic. And we have to be in that place where we say, ready set, go. I'm going to run away from the place where I am. Now, we here have a thing called starting line. Now, starting line, if you look at that banner that's just over there, right? Someone pointed out to me that it's wrong. And the reason they said it was wrong is that checkered flags are only used at the end of the race. And so when the graphic designer showed it to me and I went, oh, yeah, that looks really good, race, start. They went, which means starting line is the place where you start and you end. Yeah. That was my plan all along, all right? You know? You can have a brighter future no matter how old you are. No matter how old you are, no matter what mistakes you've made, you can have a brighter future. You can have a better future. And the truth is, that's exactly what this place is about. Building a brighter future for us. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, we thank you today that you love us so amazingly. And God, as we are here today, and some of us look at our lives and we think, I'm just stuck. I'm just helpless. I don't know how to move forward. God, you are the one who knows how to take us from the places where we are. You are the one who knows how to get us to move forward. God, would you help us today? Help us to step forward so that we could say, ready, set, go, and leave the place where we are right now. Thank you, God, for being with us. And Lord, we're prepared to be open if you're prepared to come to us. And we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
That message was given to the Catholic Eye Impact Centre in Southwest Sydney, Australia. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you visit one of our Sunday services, and we'll make sure you feel right at home. For more information about the Catholic Eye Impact Centres, visit our website, thecatholicguide.tv. The Catholic Eye Impact Centres, it's church done differently.